Hello and welcome to this Exploring / Fragments session. This time we're looking at a moral play, both pithy and pleasant, of Albion Knight. The text was printed by Thomas Colwell somewhere around 1566, and it's dated from around 1537 onwards. We don't know who wrote it. It's about the disruption of power by discordant voices. Sound familiar anywhere? Where the good figures, Albion Knight and Justice, have their efforts to steer the country well disrupted by the plots of division and injury, who spend a fair amount of time disguising their duplicity by pretending to be other more worthy figures. This fragment, from early in the play, begins close to the entrance of injury at the court, or wherever, to Albion Knight and Justice. Injury is pretending to be manhood, and as the others aren't convinced that he looks anything like the personification of manhood, he argues that you can't judge a person by their appearance. Injury's disguise as a more respectable figure is not very good. He sows his first seeds of sedition, worrying the status quo, before being left alone to boast about being a bad sort. And his intention to bring in his mate in villainy, division, on board in his schemes. Cue the entrance of division, heavily armed, and they plot a myriad of plots to divide the rulers of the kingdom against each other. Sadly, all we get is the plotting, as the fragment ends before the action can then play out. We can assume that the plots broadly succeed, and then the villainy is unmasked and order is restored. But you never know. We're not that far from Gorbodok, so who knows, the kingdom might unravel and everybody dies. But the tone and the genre doesn't suggest that. There's a whole host of other characters who are referenced and we never meet. Dame Plenty is quite an important one, as one of the plots is about separating Albion and her affections. Separating Albion from Plenty. See what we did there. No additional political connotation should be applied. But for now, here is the first stab of us getting into the text. This was workshopped with our Beyond Shakespeare irregulars on a very dull Saturday morning in October 2018. There are stumbles and errors, but that is par for the course. More fulsome audio versions of all these plays will be released in the future. As we'll be recording a proper version of this anon, please suggest thoughts or suggestions about where we go from here. Submit suggestions, clarifications, and passive-aggressive abuse either on our Patreon page by joining us or on Twitter at Beyond Shakes. The irregulars were Liz Cole, Alan Scott, Mark Scanlon, and I'm, as per usual, your host, Robert Crichton. And this is all that survives of Albion Knight.
Now, this is what I'm calling the Brexit play. I say Brexit, it's basically any kind of political divide play.
I love the description, both pithy and pleasant.
Yes, of Albion Knight. So obviously it's about England, Albion Knight standing in for that. And we have this question of justice, injury and division. So, Liz, could you be Albion, please? Could you be the spirit of England? If I could ask you to be injury, if you could be justice... And that leaves me as division. So that will be fun. Let's see how that one goes. But basically, it's all about pulling England apart. So the manuscript commences here imperfectly.
Nay, I will taste of other assays and spare our dame for holy days, so that for very need she must use her feet with other of her house and such as she can get. Yet is she not much to blame? Though she increased her husband's name, such children to bring us now ye see me, tall man as I am, unworthy though I be.
Thou speakest like a laurel full large and full lewdly, and not like a child gotten of true matrimony. And yet, though thy person induce no likelihood that in thee should be any manhood, yet beside that thou seemest of manhood frail, because so abused is thy light apparel.
Apparel, good sir, what fault is that? Though grey be her coat, why blame ye the wild cat? Why should you him deem of nature frail, though as wise as ye would wear a fox tail, or a coat after the common usage, or have by nature a mad visage? These be no witness for justice to discern, nor certain knowledge of nature to learn. And Christ taught you, sir, how ye should judge men, saying, nolit judiciari secundum facium. And yet in nature better knowledge should be, that is, in imperil ye know perdy.
So I'm just going to pause there. So what's going on here is the usual game. If someone's dressed as something he's not, I think that's what's happening with you. So injury is pretending to be something more respectable than he is. It's interesting that there isn't an immediate translation of what you've said in Latin somewhere in the text. And that's possibly because this would have been part of a something played by boys, possibly as part of their education, or to an audience that would know their Latin. Yeah. Anyway, so you are trying to bamboozle justice to some degree. Injury is trying to say, don't judge me by how I look, judge me by my actions, etc. Justice, of course, is not convinced, I think.
Oh, yet in apparel is great abusion if it be framed without discretion. For in apparel there may a great token be of frailness of pride and instability. If common assays therein, use no measure. For then is apparel a wanton foolish pleasure, and folly best meed is of presumption, when nature of reason used resumption. And therefore Christ taught a great wise prose, saying, ex fructibus eram cognoscetus eos.
By their works you will know them.
Yet, with the same text, I pray you, wipe your nose. He said not, ex vestibus eorum cognoscentis eos.
By their clothes, you will know them. And so, that's a clever Latin joke, which literally no one in the audience now will get, apart from a few scholars. So, you clever devils. Albion will now step in.
Yet, friends, I pray you once again to cease your travice that breeds disdain, and heartily both I do you pray, that both your friendships have I may.
Sir, as for mine, ye shall not miss, but this gentleman, I think, will go piss.
Nay, Sir Albion, I will not draw back if that of me ye have lack, so that I were in perfect surety that this man here should manhood be.
Now, Christ benedict thee, how Albion and justice hath forgot me. Because of me they had no exercise of long time by any enterprise. Wherefore, sithen, ye cannot know me by experience. I wot not how ye would know me, but by my credence. Therefore, by my truth and by my honesty, believe me, for manhood, truly am I he.
Yes, lovely. What I like about this, so you're pretending to be manhood. Albion, yeah. Of course, you're utterly convinced, I think, aren't you?
Then, by your oath, I am content to have your friendship with good assent and justice. I pray you to do the same.
Sir, if manhood be his name, as he hath sworn, I would be glad that his friendship also I had.
Then, justice, I pray you both. Let me knit you both upon his oath.
And they take hands, shaking.
Now, friends, I trust we be all three. And with this knot, I pray you contented to be.
Sir, you ought contented best of all, where justice is treated with due equity, and where no favour nor meed should be, and when a reason hath tried there every deal, that such an act were good for the common weal. If therein any loss may be, to the disadvantage of principality, such an act looseth all his suit, with a little inducing of reason astute. And if it touch the Lord's spiritual, or be disadvantaged the Lord's temporal, farewell, go bet, this bill may sleep, as well through the Parliament creep. And if that merchant be moved withal, or any multitude of the common hall, this is not for us, say they then, this bill is naught but for to wipe a pan. And this is all your new equity, and for all your message that thus will it be.
Alas! If this be not reform, be, I shall never be sure of prosperity.
Yea, and what followeth hereof, Master Albion? To your person, universal derision.
Why to me derision?
For all other strange nations, they will rail on ye with open proclamations, saying, whoever do as he does is half a man and half a wild goose.
Why half a man and half a wild goose?
For, with high reason, they say ye can dispute, and try at perils with laborious suit, and eke the treasure for the common veil, as far as wit or reason can assail. But, when all is done, and your statute made, Then forth ye go in a wise trade, to bring it all to good conclusion, and put it never in execution. Then speak they further, instead of a mock, they are made a statue like a woodcock, that hath but one eye, and the other blind, and it will turn with every wind. And because ye study but for the beginning, and never provide for a sure ending, beginning like a man, ye take greater say, at last like a wild goose, even but to fly away.
Well, if this be true, it is more pity. Yet let us endeavour, both ye and I, to taste our message that it were done to help here of some reformation.
Yea, but to do that, I pray you both, and to you two I promise by oath, I shall me endeavour with the communality, their whole allegiance to keep in unity.
Then God be your speed, for I will forth my way.
And I will after. God guide that us that best may.
And I will tarry no longer while, but as I see you o'er the stile.
And just pause there. So, obviously there is some kind of great matter going on, which you are debating and which obviously you don't like. You obviously like it because it's about justice and keeping the realm in peace. Injury is going to lay forth your game.
Now, here beginneth the game, I wis. For manhood, they ween, my name is. But trust me, sirs, if I should not lie, my name is called Injury, which name to hide I thought it policy, and turn it to manhood, and watch you why. It is a part of our new experience, when I against right make stiff defence, that justice in his seat may not be unstabled, then am I, Injury, manhood called. Oh, then of me croaketh every man, how like a lord is this fellow Staircan, the law to defend without a fall, for all their pleading at Westminster Hall. Or say what they will, and babble there, yet maintenance and I will keep the chair. If it comes once to the country, then, as I will, so shall it be. A very cause, sirs, why I hide my name, was they should not suspect my fame, because I would spy all their intent, to change their purpose after my judgment. And so will I do, for this is their pretence, by means of justice, to bring in experience, that peace shall continue the peace the people among, and so by that means to banish me wrong. But trust me, sirs, I will none of that, but rather by their faces I will them scrat. And me to maintain in this opinion, I have an old mate called Division, that shall be of my counsel in this case, which I trust will not turn his face, till peace be driven clear from Albion. And then let justice and me alone, for I trust, ere he and I have done, he shall go whistle in a marrow bone. As for any rightful judgment, that after this shall follow his intent. And now, sirs, will I go my way, my fellow to seek, to find him if I may.
Oh, isn't that evil? Isn't that evil? It's, yeah. It's you.
Green line.
Yeah, it's that you are there to
stir the mess up.
To get your own way, because when everything's in chaos, you can control. I'm not suggesting this has any connection with any modern political things specifically. I think it's probably fits every political climate.
Oh God, yes.
The tactics of Injury here seem awfully prescient. Here Injury goeth out, and then Division cometh in with a bill. So he gets props. I'm liking Division already. A bill, a sword, a buckler, and a dagger. I mean, he's well armed, is Division. He's well armed. And I suspect this might actually be almost a song.
Doesn't it?
It does look it. It's very short lines. It's very brokey. Anyway, I'll have a... I'm not singing it, but I'll... Having a rusk out of the busk, a lusty captain, a boar with a tusk, a sturdy lusk, and any battle to derain. A stallion stout to bear it out in everywhere, and never to lout for a knave's clout, though my head it bear. As stiff as a stake, battle to make has never afeared. I can awake these knaves and take them fast by the beard. For peace is bent, nor full intent to live at ease, shall not prevent let of my judgment to alter in disease. Such cast I have to conjure a knave out of his skin, though justice rave to hang or save.
fie on him, Horson!
Merry, fie on him, Horson!
And that sounds like you're joining...
Art thou mad again?
I think you're joining in the song, aren't you?
Hmm.
That's almost in harmony, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think we're going to say that's definitely a song. So in come injury again after I finish my song. Fie on him, Horson!
Merry, fie on him, Horson! What, art thou mad again?
What, mine old friend Injury, how were other hanged and thou let go by?
By God, because I took delay, for lack of thee to be mine attorney.
What, Horson, wouldst thou have me be trussed up instead of thee?
Yea, by God, but even for a say, that I might learn of you to know the play.
To play, Horson, what mean'st thou by that?
By God, methought even now you were in a snare, or else in hunting to catch a hare. But hark, I say, do together and spell. Beware ever among of the friary clerk's bell.
It is doubtful to me all that thou speakest. I pray thee, spell it thyself, and tell me what thou meanest.
But wouldst thou needs so fain know it? I tell thee, with Albion and justice I am knit. Therefore, it were wisdom for thee to beware what thou sayest before me.
What, Horson, then thou hast forsaken me?
Nay, I'd liefer ye were skinned all three, for I have turned the wrong side of my hood and told them my name was Manhood. And now, by God, in any wise, for both our eases, I must have thine advice.
What, hast thou now changed thine old copy to Justice and Albion to be a common hobby? Or art thou afeard of thy old name, that in every place is had in fame, and is supported in such sufferancy from the lowest unto the highest degree?
Nay, by God, I was not afeard. It was but for to claw their beard, or rubbish of all that they meant, that I might know all of their intent. Wherefore the matter is too long to tell, for the time that we did mell, but shortly to show thee for a conclusion, their mind is to bring us both to confusion.
I pray thee, by what means?
Albion hath sent justice to principality to have assistance, and me to sufferancy of the Lord's temple to have their aid, that justice in no wise should be delayed. And this thou knowest well enough, Purdy. Thus they mean to destroy thee and me. And as for justice, forth is gone, speed as he can, but I tarried alone. And yet I would no messenger be till I had the advice of thee. Therefore, how sayest thou now in this case? We shall not be idle to play at this base.
Tush, as for this, I care not a pudding prick. For we two will go through thin and thick, may grease their heads every one, though they be as hard as rock or stone.
I pray thee, tell me how.
First I myself will enterprise that peace shall have no exercise between the commons and principality, nor between lords spiritual and the lords of temporality.
Ere you go any further, tell me by what means.
I have two spies of great exercise. The one is called Double Device. Him will I send, I may tell thee, unto the court to principality. And him will I charge that, with his provision, principality and the commons to set at division. The second spy is called Old Debate, a singular fellow with a bald pate. Him will I send to the Lords Spiritual to cause them to wrangle with the Lords Temporal.
What shall they use in their device?
The one to principality shall surmise that the commons' hearts do arise against him when that he doth ask, in time of need, our money for task, his heart to move with such unkindness. Then the same spy shall use like doubleness and go to the commons and to them tell that principality with equity doth rebel more to his lucre in every dell, applying his affection then to the common weal, and how that he of negligence doth not apply for their defence, neither by sea nor by land, neither by high waves, neither by strand, but thieves and raveners and murderers eke, daily true men they pursue and seek, that his laws indifferently be not used, but maintenance and bribery is suffered alone, without reformation, that the poor commons is in altercation of this matter, and what not what to say, bringing them in opinion that they ought not to pay to principality their duty of very desert, except like duty be ministered on his part.
I make God a vow, this is a sovereign bait, to bring our purpose to a narrow strait. But what shall the other spy then do? A fellowship? Tell me that also.
Marry, he shall inform the Lords Temporal that the spiritual men would rule all, and say it was shame to them by the rood, that being descended from the noble blood, to suffer any other of such power to be, to have governance about principality, sithen their inheritors are born to be of the high council by blood and dignity, which medicine, I trow, will not likely start till it have tickled them all by the heart. Then shall the same spy taste the other part, and turn to them the wrong side of the cart, and say that God of his high great grace to them hath given good fortune and space by learning sadness and gravity, and for their due reward in honour to be, and bear to them boldly in hand that they ought by reason to rule this land, because the power of temporality have no knowledge in cunning, perdie, neither in youth will labour the passage of pain for virtue to rule in age, so that if they rulers would be, they know not how for insufficiency. Thus will I divide by this proper train that peace amongst them shall not reign.
Harry, this is a cast of a new horse comb, to rub any on the navel that hath tickled womb. This gear will work after my fantasy, to make of an old grudge a new frenzy, and this openeth the gate, even for me, that both the one and the other degree shall wrestle with themselves in such afflictions, that every one shall disdain all other jurisdictions.
What wilt thou do then? Let me hear thy cast.
This gentle seed will I sow at the last, when peace by thee is in perplexity, and what not in what part quiet to be, then justice must ever be in doubt, which part at need shall bear him out, so that for my part he shall stand still, while I run at large and have all my will.
But to what conclusion wilt thou bring it then?
Why knowest thou not? Then hark me, man, this justice is a fellow of a fair far cast, and drive us such drifts to rule at the last. And peace is his brother of one degree, which hath a fair daughter that is called Plenty. And Albion, as long as rest him treats, he loveth fair flesh of all meats. And it is a common saying that justice, peace, and he will conclude a marriage with fair Dame Plenty. And then will Albion, that old sot, with rest and peace sow on her dote, that then she, by her and her friends, shall stale in storm at all winds.
By God's bread, thou sayest truth, but this to help we must not use sleuth.
No, therefore mark me to an end. Thou and I shall this matter defend, for thou shalt to Albion a messenger be, and say thou wert present when principality and justice fell at great debate, when that his message he did dilate, from Albion, and tell him that principality in no wise his will with equity will grant to exercise, but that the law should be put back after his liking, and every writ after his entitling, and that his will, whoe'er list to strive, should be the best part of his prerogative. And then they both suddenly upon this in great rages departed Iwis. Wherefore justice said, I am in such confusion that I am ashamed to turn again to Albion. And when this message thou hast done soberly, tell him thy name is Policy.
What the devil meanest thou by that? Should I dissemble from a wild cat that ever before this have used patching, and now to play the wise man and leave scratching?
Why, Horson, it's the point of high madness, for time to dissemble sadness. And though thou be already as mad as a hart, yet I will make thee madder than thou art.
Well, say on then.
Marry, then even thus I say, when that to Albion thou hast ta'en thy way, and done thy message as thee I bade, he will for a while be pensive and sad, and he will ask thine advice. Then must thou dissemble thyself wise.
I make God a vow that is impossible that I and wisdom should knit in one quenable, or that in my brain to print such abusion that wisdom and I should be in one conclusion. For when I was young, my mother charged me and said, beware wit, son, though thou never thee.
And am I not disposed to change much your life? But hear me speak an end, though thou never thrive.
Well, say on then, and tell me what counsel I shall give Albion that may sound well to both our prophets, that would I know.
Thou shalt teach him a wrong cross row, and tell him best it is, after thine advice, with mirth and prodigality him to exercise, and take of his own good while he may, lest all at last be bribed away.
And the manuscript ends here. Gets a bit bogged down in explaining the plot, doesn't it? It all sort of flows quite well for the first half, and I was sort of going with it, and then we all explain our cunning, and it's sort of going, yeah, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do that, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do, and then we're going to do this. And I go, oh, for God's sake, how much plot do we need? I mean, it's useful in a sense if we want to try and reconstruct what happens later. It gives us a pretty fair idea what's going to come. We don't know how it's going to resolve itself, but we can be sure that most of these events will happen, or are reported to happen. Suggests it's quite a long play. It must be at least an hour. I don't know. I have to say I'm slightly disappointed. I was hoping it would read better than that.
Well, I think the trouble is because it's large slabs of
it's all plot. Well, no, it's not the verse. I don't have a problem with the verse. I have a problem with it's all plot. It's all, I'm going to, it's not, nobody's doing anything.
Yeah,
the first half they are. You've got conflict.
Yeah, there's
conflict between injury and justice. And you've got your first speech, and that's a great first speech. And division, that's probably a fun song. And the first greeting is great, you know. Why haven't you been hanged?
I like that bit.
You left me, mate. You ran away. Well, I know I wasn't going to hang around. That's great. And then, you know, and we get to this second subplot about Albion and Dame Plentyn, and going, well, that sounds interesting. I'd like to see it. I don't really want to hear it. I kind of wish they'd just get on and do it. Something I'll do more with.
I suppose if it was all preced down, it would be shorter and snappier, and you'd get to what there was, the points they were making, without being drowned under flurry.
Well, one of the things is, of course, it's because there's so little else left, I don't want to cut it. Anyway, I don't think we're going to get any more out of that for the moment.